Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This podcast is sponsored by Cloud Optimizer.
As a business owner or IT manager, are your cloud investment costs going up and you don't know why? It's time for Cloud Optimizer. As you migrate your business to the cloud, what you're spending and why you're spending it can get a little hazy. But Cloud Optimizer clears up the mystery and puts the cloud to work for you. Cloud Optimizer starts by analyzing usage patterns, right-sizing resources, leveraging discounts you may not be aware of, implementing automation, and much more. And by reducing unnecessary expenses and maximizing performance, Cloud Optimizer guarantees you a savings of 5 times what you spend for their service. As you utilize cloud-based services more and more, you don't have to lose sight or control of your spend. You can stay agile, streamline your costs, and optimize your performance, plus save significant money with Cloud Optimizer.
Make the cloud work for you with Cloud Optimizer. Get a free assessment and find out how much you can save by going to cloudoptimizer.com. Go to cloudoptimizer.com for your free assessment. That's cloudoptimizer.com.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 92, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, yeah. A production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially, off the top, hey, fuck Coke Industries fuck Fox News. People don't know why we do that. They tried to advertise on the podcast. So that's, we just gotta let
It's purely
let you
because
know.
They didn't pay for the advertising. That's why we're upset. No other reason do we have beef with the Coke Brothers right. Or their industry or Fox News.
We
otherwise,
just make it clear, we can be bought. It's Friday, July 26, 2019. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Do or Do Not. There is no Brian. That is courtesy of Hannah Soltis, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Do you like to eat gelato or visit Florence, Italy? If you want lots of hot takes about the trip that I took, I'm the Miles that you wait for. Come with me, Mr. Gray.
Yeah. Also from Hannah Soltis with the exacta of AKAs today. Shout out to you,
boom,
Hannah.
Boom, boom. On
true,
the summer Soltis.
True goddess.
No
less. Not the original AKA goddess, but up there, Hannah. So shout out to you. Anytime you cross that terrible song with me being able to talk about Italy, which is a great place to go to.
That's a great song, actually. I now realize. Let's bring our guest in.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. You know, every time I mention Italy, there's a magic in the air that comes. It's hard to describe.
That song didn't feel Italian for me. I was telling you. Needs some accordions and someone saying Mamma Mia.
If you like to drink Aperol Spritz, that's what is the Italian, I think.
There you go. Mm-hmm. We're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the hilarious and talented Allison Stevenson.
Hello.
Hey, and you were saying that song that Miles was singing.
That very good song,
that very
by the way.
Great song.
I mean, not that, you know what I'm saying. It's from, like, you know, it's that era where it's like, yeah,
Miles,
cool. You did a lot of
song,
cocaine and you made a song that's catchy. But like,
any song where a man says making love unironically, I'm there.
Yeah, it's
there
a winner for sure.
But you were saying that that song has a plot?
Yeah, it's like a couple, a married, I think they're married, they're about to cheat on each other, so they each put out personal ads and then answer each other's personal ads.
How do they get much exposition in this?
Well, no, because
great songwriting, that's how.
The chorus is the ad.
Yeah.
Is if you like peanut, like that's the whole deal.
Oh.
And then they answer it and make love at midnight, I'm assuming.
And then the next part he goes, I didn't think about my lady. I know that sounds kind of mean, but me and my old lady had fallen into the same old dull routine.
Oh, man.
So I wrote to the paper, took out a personal ad, and though I'm nobody's poet, I thought it wasn't half bad. Yes, I like piña coladas.
I love it, man.
Well, what was Rupert Holmes' private life like?
I like a dude who talks about making love, but also calls his wife my old lady.
My old lady.
Yeah.
Well, that's like a very English thing.
Is it?
Well, based on the character from Wayne's World 2, who is that roadie.
Yes.
That they had to find, he kept saying. And
which is what all of your knowledge of British people is based on.
It's based off Wayne's World 2. All my knowledge character of Italy is based on actually going there.
Uh-huh. Wait, you went to Italy? I didn't realize that. Anyways, Allison, we're going to get to know you a little bit better.
But I was first, in Tuscany for 8 days.
We're going to take our listeners through
a magical
what
place
we're talking about today.
Where the sun has a different quality, like as if the caramel light is kissing your skin.
As you can tell, that's mostly what we're going to be talking about today. But we're also going to talk about the takes on the takes on Mueller. We're going to talk about what was going on while we were mullering it up. The new Secretary of Defense being Raytheon.
Just is Raytheon
at
this point. Yeah,
yeah, they just brought Raytheon in. The AV department at Turning Point, Student Action Summit, doing a bang-up job. And Miles has written here, God damn you, Beyonce.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your official opinion.
That's me
just about
shaking
Beyonce
my fist at the heavens. I mean, she just pulled the, like, marketing move of the fucking century constantly.
I can't
believe how we constantly walk into these traps.
I feel like almost every time I'm here, we end up talking about Beyonce.
Was the last time homecoming, maybe?
Yes, it was homecoming last time. There's always something to talk about with Beyonce.
Maybe there's something with you, actually, coming into orbit. Yeah.
Yeah.
You just bring Beyonce into the zeitgeist with you.
Mm-hmm. The Beyonce of podcast guesting.
Yes.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Jeffrey Epstein possibly, like, trying to kill himself or possibly being murdered, just reminding us all why we need to protect this man as if we didn't want him dead. We're going to talk about Sylvester Stallone and Casey Affleck, some upcoming attractions that have...
Hey, Casey's a pretty good guy.
Yes, exactly. But first, Allison, we like to ask our guests, what's something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
I don't know, man. I've been having a lot of boring searches lately, but I will just say my most recent was I wanted to know everything about Mandy Patinkin last night.
Yeah.
Because I've been watching Criminal Minds nonstop for the first time ever.
Wow.
I'm like just getting into it now, like 12 years later or whatever, because it's all on Netflix. And I wanted to find out why he left the show.
Why did he?
He just was like, I don't like how violent this is, and it upset him, so he left.
Really?
Yeah. He was like, oh, this show about serial killers, like he just didn't know that it was going to be all violent and with dead women all the time.
Right.
Like,
yeah, that
that's
sounds
what you should
like
expect.
Sounds like the sort of decision you get to make after you've collected a couple years worth of paychecks from that job. You get
to have
morals about it.
Wasn't he also in, what's the?
Princess Bride?
Princess Bride.
No.
Which I did
Homecoming?
Not know.
Not
the Showtime one.
The Homeland.
Homeland, yes.
Homeland.
That's when I think that's when I was so like, oh yeah, what else has he been in? That sort of
when I realized
he's a big
that
musical
Saul,
theater star too.
Yeah.
Yeah. When
I
realized
no
Saul was the dude from Princess Bride, that was one of those mind blowing moments. Yeah, he's a talented dude and apparently very good in musical theater.
A wholesome man, I take it.
Yeah.
I just got wholesome vibes off of him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if he hates how violent Criminal Minds is.
Does he normally have a beard?
I don't think so.
On Criminal Minds?
I don't know. I saw a picture of him recently that I think did have facial hair, and he's aging very well, too.
How old is he?
I think he's like 66 or something.
Oh, Mandy. Good for you.
Mandy. Oh, Mandy.
I can't find a picture of him without a beard, so it does seem like that is his general move. He kind of looks like Eugene Levy with a beard. Bad call.
In a way, yeah. They have like the same sort of smiling eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Can't hide those smiling eyes.
Smiling eyes.
Allison, what is something you think is overrated?
Okay, this is based off of just being obsessed with nice sheets lately.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is the purpose of flat sheets? They're fucking stupid, right? Like,
What is?
No one needs those.
Strike it.
I literally just have them sitting in my closet, and I never, like, it's just a waste of fabric.
So not the ones that fit over the mattress. And
not the, like,
the fitted sheet.
That goes on the mattress, but just, like, that extra pointless.
Well, I think it's just to, like, keep your, whatever, your comforter from being less inundated with your body trash and sweat or whatever. You know what I mean? So then you have to wash your comforter constantly or the cover to it.
I just wash my duvet. I got a duvet. So
or whatever
I don't need
it
the
may
flat
be
sheet.
Sure.
I got a duvet.
I'm feeling it because I move so much when I sleep. Like, the shit will end up at the bottom of the bed. Like, it's completely shifted. I don't like it.
I don't like it either.
Go to the hotel room, I rip it right out.
Yeah.
If I'm ever in a hotel room.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they
it's
tuck
a hotel
it under
thing.
And it restricts your movement, you know?
Yeah.
It's starting to sound like a Seinfeld.
I use it to cover my chest following.
Just raucous sex.
Yes, exactly.
as you smoke
you know,
a cigarette.
To cover up. Exactly. After.
Oh, to be a little more decent.
Yeah, right. Where would the film industry be? Where would those
without
sex scenes
the flat
be?
Sheet.
Not just realistic, where you're like, okay, should we go to the bathroom? Or okay, what do I do?
All women are usually wearing bras anyway, so it's like.
Yeah.
Who needs that?
Where's that realistic post-coitus scene?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah.
We can go into that.
Yeah,
away from UTI.
Hey, it's not even in porn.
Hey, can you turn the faucet on a little bit so it'll help me pee? Just a little bit. I need to hear the splash sound.
That's right. What is something you think is underrated?
I'm going to go with camel toe.
Okay.
Go on.
Yeah.
What do you mean? You think it's got a bad rap?
Yeah, I think people see it as like an ugly thing, but it's like, first, it's inevitable.
Right.
For a lot of people, including myself, rocking it right now, but you can't see.
Because it's a podcast.
But
just know, just trust.
Yeah, but if you guys join our Patreon.
That's right.
You get the
That's
get
a
the
photo
camel
we
toe
get
cam
of every guest, actually. Yeah. You'll just have an
the
entire
camel corner.
Moose knuckles, camel toes, it's all here for you.
Right, that's the male version, right? The moose knuckles. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Then I'll add moose knuckles too.
Okay.
No, I think camel toe.
Yeah, don't.
Yeah, I take it
I think
it
of
back.
Like my old like science teacher who like before we had anatomy class, we're like, what's going on with Mr. Harrison?
Now, because moose knuckles just look uncomfortable.
Yeah, it looks like you're
in pain.
Yeah, it looks like you're trying to mush a bunch of clay with fishing wire or something.
does the thing that John Hamm had going that one time count as a moose knuckle, or is that just like if it's a
it's like a whole dick knuckle,
right? Dick knuckle.
It was just like the whole outline.
Yeah, that
of his entire
like the cover of the Sticky Fingers album. The like where you can kind of
yeah,
see
no,
the dick,
it's got to like, be full, it's got to be like violently tossed aside at
I
the
feel
scene.
Like you need, feel like you need khakis or like gym shorts on to fully pull off a moose knuckle because jeans don't give you enough like
fabric's too thick.
Yeah, mm-hmm, fabric's mm-hmm too thick to really like be bunching in the way that a moose knuckle.
I like
requires
a moose nickel too.
What is?
Is it myth time?
It's myth time, baby.
Man.
You know what time it is.
That's how I'm
it's
asking people
time,
from
kid
now from now on.
Buckle up.
Okay, well, I mean, I already talked about camel toe, so I think I'm just going to go right into it. You know, here's a myth is that people think I have a big ass, but I don't. I'm just fat.
People think you have a big ass? Like, do people text you like,
like
you
creeps
big
on the internet and stuff, like, show more pictures of your fat butt or whatever. And it's like, I don't have a fat butt. Like, I literally just have
a proportional
I'm
butt?
Just, I'm just wide because I'm fat. So it's like the illusion of a big butt.
Oh, so they think it's they want you to look back at it. They
assume.
Right. Can you balance bottles on it?
Right. But realistically, it's actually pretty flat. Like, if you just look at it, you know.
I'm glad we busted that myth.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to have a bigger butt, but it's just not the case. It's just not true.
Yeah, butts are different. All butts are different, but they all have the same value.
Right.
You know what I mean?
I don't know about that.
Meanwhile, people think I don't have a big butt because we always take our pictures with me facing forward. But
you should see, man, if you go on Jackson, pow. If you actually have the privilege
also on the Patreon,
him allowing you to follow him on IG, yo, his stories, the way he'd be sheltering in those photos, his back arch, I'm going to give you that. You know how to arch
the
that.
Back arch. That's back.
I mean,
it helps a lot, ATV. But it's all illusions. It's all a lie.
Yes, my big ass is a lie.
My big ass is a lie.
But it's a beautiful lie.
A beautiful lie.
All right.
Jack, you know what you should do? Just because Zygang's so good with Photoshop, we should do a side angle photo and let people have at it.
Mm. All of these jokes are aimed at just getting dope Photoshops of me being tatted up and having a big old ass.
Yeah. Now your avatar is going to be your big butt.
The perfect man, tattoos and a big butt.
Well, you know what we can add that to underrated is, you know, we have a lot of appreciation for female butts.
Right.
Not a lot of people talking about how hot a, like
not
a
for the founder
bubbly
of
dude
cracked.
Butt can be.
Bubbly.
You see that big old butt
a big
cracked.
Old dude butt can be pretty hot.
Yeah. Now, how big were we talking? Like, Jon Snow had a nice, like...
Yeah, that was a good...
He had, like,
butt. That was good.
Right, he had, like, a nice little man's butt, but not, like, where you go, doyo, he had a... Fuck, he had cakes on him.
You said, but not, like, doyo-yo-yo.
Yeah, not like, doyo-yo-yo-yo. Which is what I'm looking for. You know, Jack O'Brien.
Yeah. I don't think I know what a good dude butt is other than when I saw Jon Snow's butt and I was like, whoa, that's good. That's a good dude butt.
You know when you
but
see
that was
it.
One of the first times that I'd ever looked at a butt and been like, there's a good man's butt.
You don't watch the NFL?
I do watch the NFL.
Some dudes with the yeeks in the NFL, too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I should watch the NFL.
Yeah, they're wearing tight pants, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but they're like super compressed. I feel like they all butts look the same in NFL.
Oh, you're not looking hard enough.
Yeah, I guess. That's fair.
Yeah. See some dumpers on there.
Some big old dumpers. Which is how you describe butts that you find attractive.
Oh, man. Look at that dumper.
As in a thing that poops. That's what you like to remind yourself of. We're talking
that's
about how hot a butt
point
is.
Point of attraction.
Yes. Oh, man. Look at that dumper.
Should I leave now?
I think we're done.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, we're having to pivot. This shows up the Daily Dumper.
Daily Dumper.
Let's talk about Mueller. Talk about Mueller. Mm-hmm. Because people's responses to the Mueller hearing, granted, like we talked about yesterday, excruciating television, but the New York Times take was like, well, that sucked. We're going to suggest Democrats can't talk about Russia interference in the 2016 election anymore.
Okay.
Like, that was the take from The Daily, the New York Times
Well,
podcast.
That's because everybody treats this shit like Game of Thrones, and the journalists are fucking fans all of a sudden.
Right.
Like, well, that wasn't how I wanted that shit to end.
Right.
Rather than being like, hold on, this is not fucking entertainment or where you thought some narrative plot point was going to be achieved in this. Mm-hmm. It's like about... Why don't you go off what was said and then run the news like that rather than buying into this idea of like, well, the sexiness wasn't there.
Right.
Like the optics were not good.
No dumpers.
I get it. Yeah. No dumpers at all. And truth be told, this shit did not give the sound bites or whatever that maybe you wanted where you could convince people who might have been on the fence. But I mean, realistically, when you're looking at everything he said, he's like being like, yeah, man, we got problems. Russia's still fucking around. This guy lied. You should do what the fuck you're supposed to do. Okay, I gotta go.
Yeah.
My Werther's. It's time for a Werther's break.
That was their takeaway, was that, Yeah, that it just, I don't know. It's like the coverage of the coverage is just like too, I don't know. We don't need to be meta about this shit. Just like cover the report itself. Don't be like, well, how's this going to play with right. like people?
No. What happened?
Right.
What did this guy say about the fucking president of the United States and his actions?
And they're also, in a way, like letting Trump lead because everything to him is just like TV. Like he's yes. just yeah. TV critic.
Basically. Well, you even heard it on like MSNBC, all the networks. Like a lot of people were like, yeah, I mean, Robert Mueller looked like he lost a step.
Right.
And it's like, what?
That's what the New York Times did.
Why are you focusing on that rather than the fact that even despite all the weird grandstanding a lot of the GOP did and screaming, they were never able to actually, you know, get him to go back on anything, any of the evidence that's presented in the report.
Mm. Yeah.
Like there's no being like, yeah, hello, this is everything is true in here. Okay.
Yeah.
But you just want to be like, I mean, it's not the sexy Robert Mueller we were all beaten off to years right. prior that we right. thought was going to go and do a strip show. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And The Intercept is Greenwald's paper that's like pretty far left, but it's, they were also the ones who were like the, you know, Russiagate will now go down in history as like the most ridiculous like overreach by the media ever. But now they've kind of changed their tune now that the Mueller report came out. And now, like, following yesterday's testimony, they were like, literally the dude from the New York Times, Mike Schmidt, was like, yeah, I mean, people are going to, you know, ask Democrats, A, why did you ever like talk about this in the first place? And B, why are we still talking about it? And they're not going to have an answer. And like this dude from The Intercept was saying that, like, first of all, the testimony yesterday was not as bad as people were making it seem, but also like the things that are coming out, like journalists should use the Mueller report as like a guidepost to tell them what to look at.
Yeah.
They shouldn't just be like, well, it wasn't as big a deal as we thought it was.
That was a flop.
Because it's very conservative.
We didn't even get to see his dumper on camera.
Right. Mueller specifically talked about the fact that he didn't subpoena the president because he didn't want the thing to drag on for like years. And so that just leaves it up to the media and Congress to like keep pursuing this. It shouldn't just be like a situation where we're like, well, that was embarrassing. We right. better get it, just because the president said it was embarrassing.
Yeah. I mean, even like people writing like it was a flop.
Right.
That's not the point of that.
It's not yeah. a movie.
But I guess that's where we've idiots. Been pulled into. Like, that's where the discourse is now because we have a president who speaks in those terms.
Yeah.
But, you know.
My right-leaning friend from my high school chat group was like, well, I wonder if Jack's going to admit he's wrong now. And it's like, there was literally nothing of substance that correlated with what people on the right or people who are like claiming that this wasn't worth it have been saying all
along. Well, even like, well, I guess he's wrong. Wrong about what?
Right.
Yeah.
The fucking report is true. That's truth. Right. That's factual. So what am I, what, like in, yes. in this context, what are you wrong about?
Yeah. Like, I'm confused.
Because the same tired ass points on the right are like, oh, maybe he wasn't in control of the thing. Okay. Even let's play that out. So 12 angry Democrats, if that's true, there's nothing in there, nothing in the report that they've been able to disprove.
Right.
So like that's really, if you're really interested in about the truth of the matter, then the focus should be on what is in the report that is factually false.
Yeah.
And which I don't hear any debate around that.
Yeah.
But
yeah. So the last paragraph of this dude's article in The Intercept said the Democratic-controlled House should pick up where Mueller left off, create a select investigative committee that consolidates all the House's inquiries into Trump and Russia. That would mirror the way Congress handled Watergate. Long before Congress began impeachment hearings in the House, a select Watergate committee was created in the Senate to investigate the scandal. So yeah, it's like there are steps to move forward, to move this thing forward. Like this dude was talking about how that CNN report about how, like, Julian Assange was basically colluding with Russia the entire time that came out last week should have been, like, a bombshell. But everyone's just like, well, we'll see if Mueller says anything cool. Mm. But otherwise, I think the story's over.
Right. I mean, I think, if anything, still go forward because some action has to be taken, but you don't have to like make that the focal point of everything that your agenda is in power.
Right.
Just be like, yeah, of course we're fucking looking at that. But here's these other things too that are issues that voters are going to care about that we can still keep doing. Mm-hmm. But maybe that's, I think when there's too much debate within the party about like what to do.
Yeah.
So you're left with like, do here. I don't know. And then you got Jerry Nadler and Nancy Pelosi fighting. Like, great.
Yeah.
Our grandparents are arguing again.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today, and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royals.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And while we were all mullering it up over on that side of things, Trump was vetoing a congressional attempt to block the Saudi arms sale. Yeah, to try and basically punish them for what is happening in Yemen. And, you know, it's a horrifying human rights abuse that's taking place. And, you know, people were trying to get some sort of punishment in place, or at least like not rewarding the Saudi role in that war. And
Yeah.
He said, fuck y'all.
I mean, the whole thing is, you know, there's so much shit on its face to be like, this is, you know, we have a country that we've always had this really bizarre relationship with where it's like, okay, you let us, you know, park our shit in the Middle East in your spot. We'll give you some fucking guns and some bombs and shit. You like, there's this really bizarre relationship where we'll never actually fully look at the actions of Saudi Arabia and be like, hold them accountable because there's a relationship there.
Yeah.
And then when you have all of these other things going on, like obviously the people that are dying in Yemen, using the arms that we are giving Saudi Arabia or some, depending on which human rights group you want to look at. And the actions of Mohammed bin Salman, in regards to the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, there's like plenty there that I think even the most Trumpian loyal fucking people in the country, I don't even know what the fucking term is for these people, Trump dumps.
Trump loyalists.
Trumpers.
Trumper.
That are like, yeah, maybe this is not good. Yeah. Maybe we do need to think about who we give bang bangs to and how they use them because that's our calling card. But again, if the government cared that much, they'd have to put their focus on many other avenues. Mm. But I think in regards to this, it's just another extension, again, where there was a moment to maybe do something right, and then here comes this veto where it's like, no. This is where we stand. This is where the United States position is. We're co-signing everything they're doing in Yemen, and we co-sign the murder of journalists, and we co-sign all the other human rights abuses. And in fact, we want to help them do that better. Mm. So, right. You know, let's keep the 8 billion in arms moving.
Well, speaking of arms, we have a new Secretary of Defense.
Yay!
Finally, some good news.
Yeah.
Or is it?
Mark Esper.
Yeah.
Sexy name.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Mark Esper.
Esper.
He's got good resume, you know? He's a Gulf War veteran.
Boom. Mm.
He's a former Army secretary.
Mm. Flat out.
Extensive experience in defense policy.
What?
That's looks why good in camouflage?
Looks great in camo. Yeah. Was an extra in The Rock.
Was he?
Yeah.
Really?
No.
Oh, okay.
And that's why he was probably confirmed 90-8.
Mm,
not to mention that there hasn't been a fucking confirmed Secretary of Defense like 8,000 years, well, since Jim Mattis. But like, there's definitely a need to have that position filled. The problem is, for the 8 people who voted nay, they were like, right, I get all this other stuff. This guy is coming from his job, his last job as the top lobbyist for Raytheon, and now he's going to be the person who's like, yeah, who are we buying from? What kind of deals do we want to make? Am I going to show special, make considerations for Raytheon?
It's swampy.
And yeah, that was the thing. Like even Elizabeth Warren, she pressed him during his confirmation hearings about just saying like, will you pledge to recuse yourself from any decisions that would affect Raytheon or business dealings with Raytheon? And he was like, why the fuck would I? Basically.
Right.
And he's like, well, I haven't been told like by the ethics people that I shouldn't. And she's like, I understand what you've been told, but do you understand what that looks like? You have been lobbying on their behalf. Now you're in the fucking driver's seat.
Right.
Can you guarantee us that you won't have any kind of corrupt intent? He's like, nah, I can't promise that. Even Patrick Shanahan before him, she was like, asked him, will you recuse yourself from any dealings with Boeing, the former company he used to lobby for? And he's like, yeah, sure.
Mm. Right.
But my man, Mr. Swamp Thing, Esper, was like, I don't think so. So now that's 4 cabinet heads that were former lobbyists in this administration. Although, you know, you have to look at how even Obama did it. He had people at Raytheon working in the Defense Department, too. So this is just sort of another indication of
how things work.
This is how things work. But at the same time, when you look at the people who voted no, like Elizabeth Warren, Cory Booker, pretty much every person who's running for president, except for Bernie, he didn't vote. That's sort of what they're signaling to people who might not be looking at this situation the same way and saying like, no, this is a problem. You see, we're putting people in the positions of power who used to work on behalf of them and selling this shit to the government. So
shit,
you know,
yeah.
Shout out to the swamp. Shout out to all swamp things out there.
I mean, but that's the whole system is you go from, you know, public service to benefiting from that public service in some way financially to back to being an elected official, back to, you know, back and forth between appointments and then, you know, enriching yourself from that. I mean, that's just, I'm not saying it's bad, baby. That's just the way you do business.
That's just how this shit go.
That's just, you know.
Well, I'm a little bit of an idiot, but how is it technically okay? Like, how does that fly with the ethics committee, or is that what you said?
I'm not sure what they gave him. I think because it was so broad, they're like, well, of course, like, how could you in your work experience recuse yourself? I'm not sure what the laziness is, but I think just in general, I doubt those ethics lawyer actually even see that as a problem. We're like, what?
Nah. Yeah.
As long as, like, you don't work, that's like, well, if you still worked for Raytheon and were sacked, then maybe, but you don't work for them anymore. And who would think, you know, but that's just the merry-go-round of Capitol Hill politics.
I don't see why Elizabeth Warren has to be so mean, man. That's no deal.
Someone fucking apologized to him for her.
Oh, or like, really?
Because of her, he said, I'm really sorry about Senator Warren's
behavior.
She's trying to have a moment because she's running for president.
Who said that?
I forget. Some shit bag.
What the fuck?
I can tell you, but it doesn't even matter because it's the same shit over and over. Specifically, it was Jim Inhofe. Yeah, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee. He literally said, oh, no. So he apologized, and then Rick Scott then said, I guess she just needed a moment for her presidential campaign.
Cool.
So, yeah, and that's their whole thing, is they took all the people who were, like, questioning his background and his intent and how that looks bad. Was just everyone was saying, like, you know, they're just grandstanding. They're just grandstanding. It's like, yeah, okay. That's what we call trying to hold people accountable, grandstanding.
Yeah. And I mean, for a reason why everybody on both sides should find this alarming, the whole like military industrial complex thing, like, is not good. Like, what if both sides are incentivized to build more weapons and like, you know, justify the building of more weapons and the building and the buildup of military, you know, just everything. You know, that makes it so that it's always in the nation's interest to have like conflict somewhere, the threat of conflict somewhere.
Yeah. You can't sell bombs when there's peace.
Right. So
you can sell a lot of weed, though, I bet. And tacos. True.
Yeah.
Can weaponize weed. How about that?
Oh, shit. You could if, like, a really strong
bombs that
dab.
Explode.
Yeah.
Or, yeah.
Poisonous dabs.
Yeah.
Let's talk about what happened at the Turning Point Student Action Summit.
Oh, my God. Did you see the photo?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. I did not immediately see what was
so Turning Point morning. Diaper World USA, Charlie Kirk's fucking favorite organization. They had a student summit where all the loser kids you go to school with were like, well, I'm going to see the president talk. Like, can you imagine being in college right now and being like a Trumper college kid?
It sounds awful.
There was a poll recently that said 80% of college students believe everything that's in the Mueller report.
Oh, okay.
Or believe like what's implied by the Mueller report.
Well done,
so like that 20%
students.
Are like, yeah, you guys are sheep. Anyway, let me put my red hat on and fucking goose step into this.
Oh, and that reminds me, you got to be careful out there because a lot of the hidden Republicans who like still want to like hook up with like, you know, the cool liberal girls, they'll just say they're like moderate.
Right.
Yes.
Or libertarian.
Or libertarian, yeah.
I'm fiscally conservative, socially racist.
Yeah.
Okay, moving on.
So be careful.
Yeah, right? Oh, because, God, I bet you could do a whole expose on, like, undercover conservatives who have to kind of pretend to be, like, progressive in order to have sex.
So they can bang.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, at Turning Point, the president came to speak. I think that's when he said, I can do pretty much whatever I want to do. Like, gave that fucking line. And he was standing in front of a presidential seal. But if you look closely, this was not the presidential seal of the president of the United States. It was a fucking troll image. And there are a few things that people were like, hold on. Are you guys looking at what the president is actually standing in front of? It's a two-headed eagle, which... evokes the seal of the Russian Federation, which has a two-headed bird on it, which is different. Also, rather than the arrows that that the eagle is clutching, it was golf clubs in one, cash in the other. And then instead
funny.
Of E Pluribus Unum, which was like the Latin that's on the seal, it says 45 es un titere, or 45 is a puppet. in Spanish.
Whoa.
And the scrambling from Turning Point is just so funny because it, first of all, it's a joke organization dealing with a joke administration. So like just the Keystone Cops of it all is just so funny. The way this went down, when CNN was like, what happened? Their first thing's like, there was zero malicious intent, first of all. We're sorry for the mix-up and meant no disrespect to the White House or the president or the advance team. Mm. The individual responsible, a member of TPUSA's AV team, was let go in the wake of the incident.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
According to a source familiar with the event, the incident was just a terrible Google search mistake. TPUSA had event branding on the screens, but during a run-through ahead of Trump's remarks a few hours before the event, the team was told they had to change the branding to a presidential seal, prompting a search for a high-quality image. Quote, one of our video team members did a Google image search for a high-res PNG file of the presidential seal, adding that the individual, quote, did the search and with the pressure of the event, didn't notice that it was a doctored seal.
Maybe do your work ahead of time instead of last minute.
Exactly. The White House just threw them under the bus, so they were like, if you want to know more, you're going to have to ask them.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Like, was the actual, well, I mean, somewhere around that was the quote. God. And then another source that CNN talked to, who knew, like, must be on the advance team or something, basically says, quote, ultimately, both TPUSA and the White House advance are at fault. TPUSA and their production crew were responsible for putting the wrong graphic up, but the advance office should have provided the official seal and or approved everything that was put out.
Yeah.
That's 100% true.
But well, did they notice it while it was happening, or was it not noticed at all until everything was said and done?
I don't know. I think I only saw it as like people like in a tweet or something or some like the press saw it. I don't know if it happened like in the middle of get the fucking
thing.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm sure. I mean, regardless of how many people in the room noticed, Trump would be the last person to notice something like that. Like,
he'd be like, oh, it looks better.
Right. Of course I'm holding, my eagle has two heads and I'm holding golf clubs and
oh, hell yeah. See, they did a custom for me. They get it. Right. I'm balling and I'm golfing, baby. They already know.
That's right.
Cash in one hand, clubs in the other.
And so the Hollywood Reporter just came out with Hollywood's top power players' contributions to presidential campaigns so far. But it was interesting. So Kamala Harris is number one, and it just like doesn't reflect what the overall makeup is of like who's leading in the polls.
It's, wait, what is this exactly? The
so this
power
is
power players.
Yeah. So Hollywood Reporter puts out the Hollywood Reporter 100 list, which is the most powerful people in Hollywood,
right,
essentially, like in the entertainment
industry. Oh, got it.
So they went through that list and saw and checked for who has given money to which candidates.
Got it.
Kamala Harris has received $73,000 from that list of 100 people.
You know, I actually greenlit Hidden Fences.
Joe Biden's in second place with $22,000. So Kamala Harris is fucking crushing. But Joe Biden in second. And then Amy Klobuchar, Kristen Gillibrand, and Cory Booker coming in next at $10,000 each. So that's kind of surprising because they're two big names that are kind of high up in the rankings that are missing from that list, which Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. They have not a single member of that 100 most powerful list donated a single dollar to Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders.
Not even a single dollar?
Not a single dollar.
Oh, because they didn't, because they couldn't blow them out the water with huge donations? Because I think what you
just
can only...
nothing. Just nothing.
I guess that speaks to like them being like, well, I need to be able to write this off.
Yeah.
So if I can only give, but I mean, you can only take
$2,800
as a max for the cycle.
I think what it speaks to is that anybody who is trying to like upset
socialize
the system,
it up too much?
Yeah, socialize it up too much or confront like the current power structures is going to be unpopular with the people who are on top of the game. Right
well, where's
now.
Andrew Yang on that?
did
he make the list?
He did not make the list.
Damn.
But
yeah, that makes sense. I mean, I think how predatory like the entertainment industry is. Like, if suddenly like people got wise and like, what's going on over here?
Mm. Right.
How is this business structured?
Yeah.
How does that work? How do these deals work?
Yeah.
But,
So the politics on screen may be somewhat progressive, but they don't want that progressive shit.
But where's like
touching their money?
Mm-hmm. Where's like spots 101 to 500? Right. I wonder if that would change, honestly.
Yeah, I'm sure it would. Yeah.
Because I think that makes sense. Like, at the highest point, you want the people who are going to maintain the status quo, but I'm sure they're outnumbered. I wonder if they're outnumbered below that. Because, you know, mm-hmm. I think we just barely missed the list. I think, Allison, you were mm-hmm. 101.
Yep.
Right.
Jack was 102.
Yes.
I was around 150. I'm still kind of an outlier. But, like, you know?
Yeah.
Analyze that.
Well, is that Hollywood
also
reporter?
How do we get in that? How do we get on that list?
Just be a billionaire who makes movies.
Who was number one?
You
on
give
that
a
list?
Lot of money to Kamala Harris. She wins the presidency, and then she has a lot
she
of
makes
power.
Makes you the Secretary of Hollywood.
Secretary of Weed.
That's right.
Because her family's Jamaica.
That's true.
Okay. Yeah. Chill.
All right, we're gonna take another quick break. We'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is an NAACP and Webby Award-winning podcast dedicated to all things mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. Here, we have the conversations that help Black women decipher how their past inform who they are today, and use that information to decide who they want to be moving forward. We chat about things like how to establish routines that center self-care, what burnout looks and feels like, and defining what aspects of our lives are making us happy and what parts are holding us back. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Carol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Theodore Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and Beyonce is back in the news.
Here we go.
Oh,
what'd
Beyonce.
She do this time, guys?
God damn you, Beyonce! So there's a fucking video out that says for something called 22 Days Nutrition.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, Beyonce is doing some kind of thing. The video, okay, so if you remember the Homecoming documentary about Beachella, one of the sequences specifically deals with her getting back in shape after having her children and getting into peak Beyonce fitness level so she can show people what stamina is.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I mean, you see her physically change like over the course of the documentary. Like she just looks different from the beginning to the end because she's just had babies. Like it's.
And she's like, I'm going on this. I'm doing plant-based or whatever. Was the scene where Jay-Z acts super casual, was that in response to her saying, I fit in this thing now?
Yeah.
Okay, so in this clip, right, they show a lot of the Homecoming documentary and sort of connect this, her new nutrition thing with, like, her transformation. And there's a moment where she's like, but I was working with, you know, Marco Borges, who was, like, my nutritionist. They do that same sequence. She's like, I fit in it. But they cut to a FaceTime thing of the nutritionist. And he's, like, so much more excited. Like, it was just funny that I was like, wait, that I don't think that moment was in the documentary, right?
Yeah.
I think it was only Jay-Z. Anyway, doesn't matter because this is where it comes in. This teaser basically takes that whole like transformation sequence and just serves it right back to the viewer in the form
monetizes
of,
it.
You can now do this fucking too.
Yeah.
With Beyonce's 22-day nutrition plan.
Yeah.
And I was kind of like, okay, what kind of snake oil shit is this? It's actually, I don't know. I can't say I'm too suspicious of it because she's basically just selling a like meal planning guide, but to eat like healthy and more in a plant-based diet. And I'm like, okay, so you're not like on some like, try Beyonce meat, Beyonds meat, or whatever the fuck.
Beyond Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonds. Like, it's just very much like, this is how you can eat vegan. Here's a meal plan. It's relatively cheap. It's $99 gets you a year of the plan. So what it'll do is like, you'll take a survey. You tell like what you like to eat, what you don't like. It'll then begin like telling you, okay, these are the kinds of dishes you would like. You can say how much time you have to cook.
Oh, so it doesn't even like
it doesn't give
send you
the
food?
No. It's not about that. It's just about like empowering you to be like, if you can stick to this, like this is how you can do it. These are foods you'll most likely like to make it easier for you to eat this diet. And even like tells you like recipes to cook based on like even the appliances you have in your kitchen. So it's not like this thing that just assumes like, oh, you probably have a chef's kitchen with Viking Range prep staff. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, like you might not have this thing. Okay, here's how you could do it with a microwave.
Right.
But like, it's still allowing people to be like, yeah, if you want to eat healthier.
Well, and
eat,
is it like an app?
It's an app. Yeah. Oh, okay. And I think probably a website, too. But it's just purely information based on this of like meal planning to just eat healthier. And she did have that thing, that initiative for going vegan where it was like, if you sign up, you go to every Beyonce concert for life. So this
commit
seems like
to
a
eating
very
one day of the week vegan or whatever. Can you print it out for me? Because that's what I would need.
Yeah, you can print it out too. You can print it out, look it on your iPad or your Google glasses that you still
remember
have.
Remember that detail from Hillary Clinton's campaign where like she had a whole like person whose job was just to print her emails out for her?
Isn't Trump the same way too?
Yeah, probably.
He hates
just
he
old people.
Yeah. Yeah, just old people.
Give me
shit.
The paper version.
Although I kind of like marking articles up.
Yeah.
Like if I have to really like analyze something, it's kind of hard to do on computer.
It's not as effective, even if you can technically. It's just like not.
Yeah, like I'm good at like underlining right in the margin. Yeah. Like, fuck that.
Right.
That's
how
I
grade papers.
Just fuck that all over the place.
Oh, no. This intro paragraph, shit, bro. Fuck this narnsense.
But yeah, I mean, this does seem like, I mean, first of all, that price point is, I thought you were going to say $99 a month or something like that. $99 a year is pretty manageable.
Yeah. But I am confused about what you're buying. You're buying advice?
Yeah, basically. Like you're buying a nutritionist, an automated nutritionist.
Like week to week, it helps
you.
So
what it will do, it is a meal planner, which offers members access to tools and foods that empower everyone to become their healthiest self through proper nutrition. So it basically just gives you food recommendations, as well as, then I think this is where you get the in-app purchases, as well as access to a line of USDA organic non-GMO plant-based products. But I think even then, if you want to do the DIY version, you'd be like, all right, just give me the rest. Give me the Beyonce recipes.
Right.
And let me get snatched.
I mean, that's
for
the
tour.
Thing. Like the opposite of this is like Alex Jones doing like nutraceuticals or like whatever.
Yeah, being like, your brain will fucking come out your face.
Yeah, you just take one of these and you'll be as smart as me.
You'll come wisdom.
Whoa, Alex.
But, you know, this doesn't like promise to have the silver bullet. It's just like, yeah, I mean, it's still hard.
Well, the silver
but this
bullet
tells you what it is.
The thing is, it's Beyonce's Jupiter levels of gravitational force that right. she has on people. And using, this is why I'm saying, God damn you, because it's like a genius way of like saying, remember that documentary? And you're yeah. like, damn, good on Beyonce. And now it's like, hi, would you like to buy that experience? And it's like, fuck, you already poisoned my mind.
Remember that really motivational, wholesome section? What if that was an infomercial? Yes.
So still, you know, getting her capitalist on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know. I
just never claimed not to be capitalist.
I feel like that should be free if, you know, if you really want to help people go vegan. But I don't know. That's just me.
I think what you do, totally. I think that's where it's hard for me. Like, on one hand, I'm like, I get what the intent is.
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like, you know. You got to make money. That's at yeah. that level. That's where I don't think anyone. I would be surprised if someone at this point was like using their outsized popularity to be like, you know what, this is free,
right?
Because imagine how many people if that shit were free.
Yeah,
you'd have a. What I would do is just invest in some vegan shit.
Yeah,
have Beyonce give you the free meal plan, and you'll probably see a somewhat of a jump in sales from people being like, okay, I'm gonna do the Beyonce 22 Beachella.
Well, I mean, think about how much money the president is losing just by being the president, how much he's sacrificing.
Yeah.
Because he makes so much money just like hand over fist.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Good point. Good
I make
point.
Less right. money now.
Right.
Yeah.
Play way
yeah.
more golf, though. You know, double edged sword.
Well, speaking of the president, Jeffrey Epstein was, I don't know, this story's a little bit confusing, but a local NBC station is reporting that he was found like semi-conscious in his cell.
And injured, right? It
right,
was weird.
With a neck injury, and they're treating it as a possible attempted suicide, possible assault, and...
They're leaving room to say it might be this other thing.
They're just like not saying anything, basically,
right.
But that's confirmed that that happened at least?
Yes. Okay. And the reporting is he's currently still in the same like part of the prison, but he's on suicide watch. So it makes sense that it was possibly a suicide thing, but this just makes me really extra want to make sure that he is not allowed to kill himself or... be murdered in prison. Yeah, and have it look like he killed himself, because when I was picturing what it looked like where he was being held, I was picturing like Magneto prison or like
right.
Hannibal Lecter's like
plexiglass plexi cell,
like little goldfish bowl where you can see him from all angles. He's like in a prison cell with a hitman.
Wait, he has a cellie?
Yes, he has a cellie.
Okay.
His name is Nicholas
Tartaglione,
and he murdered four people. He was a former cop who murdered four people in an alleged cocaine distribution conspiracy.
Oh, good. So a corrupt cop who's killed
people. A corrupt cop hitman.
In a prison cell with a guy who's connected to very powerful people.
This is a sitcom I would watch.
Yeah, whose testimony could potentially bring down so many elements of the entertainment industry, politics, and really?
Yes.
His cellie is that guy?
Why does he have a cellie?
Yeah.
Like, why are you treating him like a normal, like this dude... can bring down so many people, and if he either kills himself or is killed and it's made to look like a suicide, like that's going to look really fucking bad for everyone.
Yeah.
And, like they like
it's weird how we're like actually concerned with the well-being of a sexual
right.
predator.
Yeah.
Because
for a second.
It's just like, please, we need Jeffrey Epstein to fully make clear, clarify, bring clarity to this web of sexual predators and pedophiles that he was palling around with.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Now I'm like, how does he have a cellmate?
Right. Yeah. I don't know how he has a cellmate. And like, they're supposedly like treating it like they are complaining because there's like rats and like the food is terrible and shit like that. Him and Tartaglione were both like complaining together because people were asking if maybe his celly was like assaulted him, and the celly's lawyers are like, they get along great. Are you kidding me? They love each other. Mm-hmm. They were just complaining together about, which is a weird flex on their part, but yeah.
They were just complaining together about how right. bad it is in there.
Flooding, rodents, and bad food, which...
I mean, yeah, at the very
nobody
least...
Nobody has ever deserved that more than Jeffrey Epstein, mm-hmm. but I don't want him dead. We need to keep him alive for as long as we can get information out of him.
Yeah.
So yeah, keep him...
I'm sure the internet is a flutter with conspiracy theories at yeah. this point of like, it's the Clintons.
Yeah.
Clintons.
Yeah.
It's oh, Clintons. God. Clintons.
Yeah. I mean.
Fucking Clintons, man. Also, like, if you are someone on
Say
suicide
what?
Watch, like, are they normally left alone or do they have a celly to be like, maybe this murderer will cheer you up?
Right.
Like, I'm not sure what the logic is there.
I'm assuming he's no longer with his celly
right
now that he's on suicide
now that he's
watch.
On suicide watch.
Right.
Yeah, now his celly is a rope man.
Right. Right.
Rope man McKnife hands. We'll
loves
see what
to
happens.
Give hugs.
Yeah,
yeah,
loves to hug. It's just a big boa constrictor. Don't fall asleep, Jeff.
All right, let's talk about Sylvester Stallone.
Finally.
Yeah. Hey, you know.
Don't I got rice?
Hey, don't I got rice? Hey, you know. I got freaking rice, you know.
Miles' five-word impression.
Only can say, don't I got rights. I don't think I could do anything
but
else.
But he can say the hell out of that phrase.
Yeah.
He wants to reboot Rocky.
Again?
Somehow. Like,
he did that.
Right. Like, Creed was a great movie, and, you know, Creed 2, I haven't seen, but...
Creed 2, Electric Boogaloo. Yeah, it was pretty good.
But
he's
like
73
he was,
years old.
The last thing we saw.
Wow,
he was,
really?
Yeah, he's 73. There's no way that, I mean, the point of a Rocky movie is that Rocky fights at the end of the Rocky movie.
Yeah, but now he's fighting against osteoporosis.
Right.
And so that'll
just
be really
drinking
tight.
Drinking a lot of calcium.
Yeah, I mean, so in this one, they said, so he did an interview with interview recently where he talked about a lot of things. Mm. But when they talked about a sequel, Stallone says, there's a good chance that Rocky may write again. He then goes on to divulge the plot of the sequel, which involves, now get this shit, Rocky, quote, befriending a young street fighter living in the U.S. illegally.
What?
You know, Rocky meets a young angry person who got stuck in this country when he comes to see his sister. He takes him into his life and an unbelievable adventure begins. And they wind up south of the border. It's very, very timely. What oh, the God. Fuck
Whoa.
Is this?
I mean...
White fight savior? Fucking... What the...
73-year-old Rocky is, like, running around on, like, border crossing adventures.
Immigration advocate?
He's 73.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. He
oh
looks
God.
Amazing, right?
Does he? I don't even
well,
know.
Well, look, I mean, if you pump yourself up with enough HGH or whatever
yeah.
the fuck else.
I'm looking him up right now.
The fountain of youth.
Like a melting novelty candle.
The, I mean, yeah, I'm sure, I mean, I can only guess. He's like, yeah, you know, he's going to be Mexican, you know?
I mean, he has, so he had the perfect
oh, wow.
mind for the 80s because, like, so the idea of Rocky going to Russia to win the Cold War was just the right amount of cheesiness for the 80s, but
right.
now, like, it's like too on the nose.
It's aggressive.
We're over
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It's just, it doesn't work for the modern world.
Yeah, you know, he's going to go to Mexico and fight the Me Too Mafia.
Right? Yeah.
Fucking
exactly.
knock him out. Like, what the Me? Right. What? You know, all the fentanyl will bring it in.
Right.
And then the Me Too stuff, you know, so you're going to fight him. Like, okay. The other thing is, though, he wants to do a TV prequel series. This guy's trying to bite the whole fucking apple.
Right.
Wow.
And, but this is where he was like, but I can't do that because, A, he doesn't even own the intellectual property rights to anything having to do with Rocky.
What?
He was fucking hoodwinked out of his IP rights to Rocky. He fucking he created Rocky, right?
Oh my
right.
God.
The fucking writer of it.
That's a pretty common thing, actually.
Yeah.
Well, but, yeah, he wrote it when he was a nobody in Hollywood and, like,
right.
sold it to the studio like the studio didn't even want him to be the person in it, and he like had to basically put his foot down and be like, look, you can have the intellectual property, just let me
fight, you know,
let me look tough.
But I think, yeah, I think the producer who does have the rights, Erwin Winkler, like, has a good relationship with Sylvester Stallone. So he's the one who's always been like, okay, like, yeah, let's do another one. Maybe not this prequel thing. But also, you know, I'm like old guy meeting a young, angry kid fighter is also Creed.
Right.
Yeah, so, it's like, gotta get a little more Creed.
Yeah, but you know, Mexican this time.
Yes.
It's you know, different.
I hear they come out and see the movies.
The Rocky is also based on, like, so Stallone went and saw this fight where a guy named Chuck Wepner basically like made it to the last round with Muhammad Ali, and so Rocky is essentially a true story, and Sylvester Stallone just like never gave this guy credit, and like at first he was like, yeah, it's based on Chuck Wepner, and then people were like, shh, shh, that's not, and he was like, it's not based on anyone, it's Rocky. So yeah, kind of fucked up. Chuck Wepner like signs boxing gloves in like a, you know, one bedroom house for a living these days.
Oh man, really?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One bedroom house sounds pretty nice. There you go, one bedroom. That.
Yeah, it's actually beautiful. It's like a Santa Monica bungalow. It's really
it's like on one of those streets right off Ocean that's like kind of those preserved areas.
Right.
It just appraised for $2.3 million, actually.
And let's talk about Casey Affleck real quick.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
So he's got a movie coming out in August called Light of My Life is what it's called. So Casey Affleck has
Which sounds like something a shitty husband says in an apology card.
Of course.
To the light of my life.
Yes.
Okay. So this is an apology film?
So this is a movie in which all women are dead.
Yeah.
Except for
a
his
perfect
daughter.
World, you mean?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
So, just to, in case you forgot, during the making of I'm Still Here, which was a fake documentary about Joaquin Phoenix growing a beard or something.
And then rapping and then doing
rapping.
A bunch of coke.
Anyways, Affleck routinely referred to women as cows, assaulted a woman when she wouldn't share a hotel room with him, and straight up showed up in a woman's bed one night.
What? I didn't know that part.
Uninvited. Yeah, so, you know, he didn't go to the Oscars last year because his publicist said that's a no-win situation for Casey. He's just
okay. I'm sorry. No. In what situation is he supposed to win?
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, that's a no-win for him.
Yes.
That's such a weird way of saying that. Of like, clearly my client is in some shit right now, and it's probably better he keeps his ass home.
Yeah.
Rather than no, he won't win, and they won't win. It's just no one's gonna win.
So he has taken full responsibility for his actions by saying things like, the buck had to stop at me as one of the producers that contributed to an unprofessional environment. So water under the bridge.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
He should not have, quote, tolerated.
He's chill now.
Yeah.
Shouldn't have tolerated that kind of behavior from other people. So, I mean, but yeah, he's totally owning up to it. Anyways, this new movie is all about a world where women all died from a female-targeted plague, and the female-targeted plague is not played by Casey Affleck. It's just a just an illness that
sick
has taken out
device.
All the women, and he has a daughter. So he's like trying to survive the post-apocalypse with his daughter.
Wait, so every woman is alive except his daughter, or dead except his daughter?
Except his daughter. And
oh, wow. That's...
Yeah, because as the father of a daughter,
right, exactly.
I really understand how women must be feeling at this moment. No.
That's literally the deal, though.
Right.
It's like, as a father of a daughter, like, I'm shepherding her through this, like, fucked world.
Yeah. Yeah.
That I'm contributing to. But anyway,
right.
That I created, like literally, as I wrote this script.
People immediately pointed out the connection and, you know, the idea that maybe this is some wish fulfillment where He gets to just be a bro.
And not have to worry about, like,
women.
Jesus Christ.
The survival of the species.
I'm just so confused. Like, does it say what the plot is exactly? Like, other than the fact that all the women are dead?
It looks very much like The Road. It looks like he read The Road and saw Children of Men in the same week and was like...
And also saw his mentions.
My turn.
And saw and then saw his mentions. He says he wrote it before, quote, those things became part of the conversation, end quote.
Those things.
But he still decided to make it. And it's apparently getting good reviews based on the trailer.
Huh.
So
interesting.
I mean, maybe the script could be good. It's just like, why is he in it?
Right.
Like, what? That's the part where they completely fucked up.
It's like, well, it's my story, so I got to be in it.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And then his brother in the same week, this past week, it was announced that he is finally reuniting with Matt Damon for the first movie with the two of them in it in a long time. This new movie is called The Last Duel, and it's about two friends who duel to the death because one of them raped the other one's wife.
Whoa.
So it's a movie about rape in which the focus is the two male stars of Dogma.
And it's like takes place in France, right? It's like a
period. So this is
piece.
Actually like a crazy story. Like you can actually watch.
It's not a story about like some shit that went down in Simi Valley.
Right. No, you can watch the video of this duel that took place in the 60s. Where
it was in
two,
the 60s?
Yeah, it was like.
Oh,
it's based on a real thing?
Yeah, yeah. It's based on a real thing where these two dudes.
So not problematic.
Dueled, I think, to the death with swords. And
it with was like, swords?
Yeah. Yeah.
It wow.
It was with and like
fuck,
it was
I kinda wanna watch this now.
Yeah.
Well, why do we need
gruesome.
To see them? Just like look at the footage of two of the men actually fighting.
Killing each other,
with
swords.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it was like basically one of them comes back from war and the other one's wife is like, that dude raped me, like your best friend, and then he's like he brings it to the head of the like it gets brought further and further up in the court, and the king of France gives them the decision that the two men should fight a duel to the death, and that's what happens.
What year is it supposed to take
it's
place?
Like, it's the 60s.
But
I'm
sure there wasn't a king of France in the 60s though.
That's probably at the beginning of when men gave a shit. If that's like the start of giving a shit if a woman gets raped.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
But then it was still like. Yeah, but y'all got a sword fight.
Yeah.
Like, still solving like, it the most toxic
way. Yeah,
yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah, but fight with these fucking swords, though.
It's also just, like, an easy solution.
But what
like,
if the rapist wins? Then that's what it was meant to be, bro. I don't make the rules. I'm the king of fucking France.
Yeah, you do. You just made this up.
Yeah, but I'm saying that would be sick if we videoed it.
Right.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's pretty wild. Anyways,
keep your eye out for those blockbusters.
For those two movies coming out soon.
Wow. I hope it's a double feature at every movie theater.
I mean, the trailer for the one, the Children of Men, the Road ripoff, looks watchable.
If you take out the context around it.
Yeah, if you just take out the context. Exactly.
I'm here for the art, man, not the artist.
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
Big case,
and
man.
It's scored by an R. Kelly soundtrack. all right. Well, Allison, it's been a pleasure having you as always.
Thank you so much. I
Where can people find you?
At Just About Glad on everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, actually, yeah. Hold on. Let me open it up. I took a picture of it. I don't know. You might not agree, but I think this is a good. This is from @pant_leg. And
go on.
They write, IDK, who needs to hear this, but Crocs are sexual. They are a sexual shoe. Which.
I guess I could see that.
There is something about a Croc that's sexual.
Definitely more than Tevas.
Oh, no. Tevas
are anti-sex.
Yeah, Tevas are the end of sex.
They make me wear another pair of panties.
Right.
Like the opposite of a panty dropper.
Right.
Yeah. Miles, where can people find you?
Oh, man. These days, if I'm not under the Tuscan sun. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. And you can find my musings about the beautiful country that is Italy. Yeah, go there. If you want to know about a tweet I like, there's a couple.
I do, actually. I'm
okay,
glad
good.
You
let's
it.
Let's do one of these. this one is from Reductress, and it just says, 4 activities to do with your friend who's only available because her boyfriend is out of town. and yeah, as anybody who's booed up knows, that's very relatable.
Yeah.
We only hang when fucking your significant other's out of town.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Saturdays are for the boys. You know what I mean?
Saturdays are for the boys. What is that from?
I don't know. Toxic culture.
Toxic masculinity.
The movie.
There was a hat that like I saw like that, and someone asked me, I was like, "Oh, that's funny." I'm like, "No. That person is probably a scumbag."
Right.
If you're like walking around parading with Saturday's
Up for the Boys.
But I could wear that hat and it'd be chill.
Yeah, well, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think I want that hat.
Yeah, I think you need that hat
desperately. Official Tomp tweeted, "Imitating Christ by inviting my friends to dinner so I can accuse them of betraying me." And
haters.
Average Joe Jazz in My Pants tweeted, "Peter Pan. So we meet again, Captain Hook." Captain Hook. Well. Wait, you guys call me Hook? Peter Pan. Yeah. Captain Hook. Because of the hand? Peter Pan. I'm sorry. Captain Hook. Wow. Okay. Hey, my dad's dead too. Why don't you call me Captain Dead Dad? and then Andrew Noyd Weber tweeted, "Batman fighting his way through dozens of prison guards to stop Epstein from testifying about billionaire pedophile Bruce Wayne." You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding into the weekend on?
Oh, man, another track from Ila Bamba, because I dig everything she does. And this track, again, Toe Tapper. It will put honey or miel in your hips.
Is that
also,
really
shout right? out miel? To... Yeah. Or no, that's in, or miel is in French, actually.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm so international sometimes, I forget my words. This track is called Bruja de Brujas. And as we know, in Spanish, it means Bruja of Brujas.
Right.
Or Witch of Witches. And yeah, it's so good. Also, I forgot to say, shout out to fucking Puerto Rico for holding it down. Y'all took the streets, and now fucking Rosselló is out of there. I know you're really also not happy with who's about to come in, but yo... Thank you for showing people what happens when you get, you know, enough people out in the streets and pulling up in physical space.
What would it take for America to get, like, there's
Netflix
no...
to go down?
Mm. Yeah.
If,
Netflix went down, it would have to deal with people not having their fucking opium to just subdue their, like, outrage. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like, if weed ran out and Netflix and fast food
and alcohol,
yeah.
and alcohol yeah. cigarettes...
Yeah, that would be bad.
That's how we unite the five kings.
But then we'd be protesting to put Mike Pence into office.
Yeah, well, look, that's one step at a time, man.
Okay.
You know, first we gotta get all the fast food places to close down long enough.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, you can visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever fine podcasts, or give it away for free. That's going to do it for this week. We will be back on Monday with episode 93. Talk to you guys then. Season 93. Talk to you guys then. Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.